need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration,
another Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the Left Coast, and it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, you hear me tell you this every week, but it's always true. Go ahead and interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. Follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now, my first guest tonight is Daniel Miller. Daniel Miller is president of the Texas National Movement and has been an outspoken advocate for Texas independence since 1996. Yeah, that's 22 years, folks. As the head of one of the largest and most influential political organizations in Texas, Miller has extensively researched and engaged the issue of self-determination, not just for Texas, but as part of a growing global trend. He has been featured on a lot of major news networks. He's been on Fox News, CNN, CNBC, BBC, etc. Daniel Miller, thanks for taking time to be on the show tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet. It's my privilege. This is a pretty darn interesting topic right now because, Daniel, in our nation, we are so divided. I am amazed every day that it seems like it's not the way it used to be decades ago, where you have the Democrats and you have the Republicans, but everybody's civil and people respect each other. And pretty much both sides, once upon a time, respected things such as the Second Amendment and the actual meaning of the First Amendment, etc. But now we are to the point where a lot of conservatives I know wish California was not part of the United States, and for good reason. I know there's a lot of parts of Oregon where I think, oh my goodness, I'm a native Oregonian. I'm a conservative. I haven't changed at all, Daniel, in my entire life. And suddenly I'm finding in my mid to later life here that I am being called a right-wing nut job, etc. And we have a large number of people, especially in the densely populated urban centers, who love the idea of progressivism, aka socialism. And then you have patriots in the outlying and suburban areas who feel sick to death of being ruled by those cities, who typically don't even feel the effect of their horrible votes. So in light of this, you're a secessionist, you're a Texas nationalist. Daniel Miller, I'd love to know your story. Were you born in Texas? When did your family first move to Texas? Give us the background of all this.
No, I was definitely born in Texas. I'm a sixth-generation Texan. My first ancestor here actually fought at the Battle of San Jacinto with General Sam Houston in the battle that won Texas independence. So our family has got, at least on my mother's side, got very deep roots here.
Wow.
But, you know, I talk about this in the Texas book about how here in Texas, our history is really sort of ingrained into us. It's mandatory here in schools to teach at least 1 year specifically of Texas history, and some schools actually have a second year of Texas history. So we have a history that we teach that is separate and distinct and apart from what everyone would consider U.S. history. So it's something that's ingrained into us from the very start. But that's not to say that we as Texans don't value what America was founded on and those principles. I mean, I think I've heard people say time and time again that that Texas is that America as everyone pictures it, is that picture of America. So, you know, it was not an easy choice 22 years ago to really say, look, the best path for Texas is to assert its status as an independent nation. But what I found out was, in being introduced to that concept, was that all of this work and all of this grief and all of this emotional capital that I invested in trying to repair things on the federal side are all solved with one vote, and that is a vote for Texas independence. So August 24th, 1996, I made the decision to start working for Texas independence, and I've been working for it ever since.
My goodness, that's pretty darn interesting. And by the way, before we continue on, I'm speaking with Daniel Miller. He has a book that I have linked on the show page, Texit, and so I would encourage everybody to go to the show page and check that out. Now, Daniel Miller, I heard your interview with Stuart Varney, who for the most, I like for the most part, but he kept quoting Judge Andrew Napolitano and saying that secession was not constitutional, but it doesn't really say anything in the Constitution about secession, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And it's unfortunate. You know, I had a short amount of time with Stuart, and he decided that he wanted to consume the time by repeating something that Judge Napolitano allegedly said repeatedly, only to have me every single time shoot it down and then have to break it down into a lesson that is taught to just about any middle school civics kid here in Texas about what the Constitution is and what it says and what it doesn't say. So it was definitely a missed opportunity on their part. But I'd like to correct something, because this idea of being a secessionist, one of the things that I actually talk about in the book is that once you understand what the United States of America is, how it's constructed. You know, I think that you and I are probably on the same page. We understand that the states are sovereign entities. You know, they are sovereign bodies politic, and it is those states that created the federal government. The Constitution is the guiding document. It explains everything. So from the standpoint of, you know, when people talk about the Civil War, they always talk about secession. And you hear that when, whether it's Texit or Calexit or the Vermont Independence Movement or any of these other guys, you hear people talk about it as secession. But there's been this growing trend in international law and just sort of, you know, thought about this particular issue, to look at it from the standpoint where, especially where the states of the Union are concerned, as not really being secession, but rather a withdrawal of membership of a political and or economic union. And that's essentially what the United States is. It's a political and economic union. One of the reasons that we find people so divided now, and we find that politics has become this ridiculous Punch and Judy show, where we're all bashing one another over the heads and trying to fight for control of the federal government to use it as a tool against the people who lost, it's quite simple. It's the failure to recognize the individual and sovereign status of each of the states, as was intended by the framers of the Constitution and the founders of the United States, and instead trying to impose upon everyone this sort of idea of a homogenous American nation, which is just, according to the founders, absolute garbage.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405. You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics can be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
My face hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood, but slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that be up so high, then I can't.
Lift me up.
I need you to hold me.
Lift me up.
crashing in the ocean, I'm losing control. Dark sky all around, can't feel my feet touching the ground.
Back, everybody. We had a quick break there, and my guest is Daniel Miller. If you're just joining us, Daniel Miller is president of the Texas Nationalist Movement. He's been an outspoken advocate for Texas independence since 1996. Before the break, I was starting to mention that I had found an article, Daniel, by Walter Williams. He's an American economist, commentator, academic, and he says that secession from the Union is constitutional. And I'll read you a little bit of what he wrote in that article, which was very, very interesting. Walter Williams writes, "For decades, it has been obvious that there are irreconcilable differences between Americans who want to control the lives of others and those who wish to be left alone. Which is the more peaceful solution? Americans using the brute force of government to beat liberty-minded people into submission, or simply parting company? Since Barack Obama's reelection, hundreds of thousands of petitioners for secession have reached the White House. Some people have argued that secession is unconstitutional, but there's absolutely nothing in the Constitution that prohibits it." And we were talking about that before the break, Daniel.
Right, right. And that's, you know, and as I was saying before the break, you know, the prevailing thought that is developing around this issue is that whether it be Texas, CalExit, you know, any of the states leaving the Union, it's less accurate to describe them as secession because of how the Union is constructed, than just referring to those movements as withdrawing membership from the Union. Because we have to fundamentally acknowledge not only that there are, say, political differences, but I think the differences are even more than just what people would look at as sort of this bipolar partisanship. I think there are much more of them. I think it's much more nuanced, and I think there are vast differences even between, you know, say, Texas Republicans and Massachusetts Republicans, or, you know, New York Democrats and Texas Democrats. But the bottom line here is that we have to really acknowledge what the Union is, and it is a union of 50 sovereign states, as envisioned by the framers of the Constitution and the founders of the United States. Each of those states enjoys equal sovereignty. They have ceded certain things in the political and economic spheres to a federal government to handle collective, where they can handle it collectively. But if that is the case, then any of those states may withdraw from that political and economic union by their choosing. As I was trying to communicate to Stuart Varney, the Constitution's silent on it. Therefore, it is solely up to the people in each of the states to make the determination of what's best for that state.
Yes. And I'm speaking with Daniel Miller. Your new book that's out, that's linked on the show page, is Texit, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. Walter Williams continues in this article that I found very fascinating on the subject. He writes, "There's more evidence seen at the time of our Constitution was ratified. The ratification documents of Virginia, New York, and Rhode Island explicitly said that they held the right to resume powers delegated should the federal government become abusive of those powers. The Constitution never would have been ratified if states thought that they could not maintain their sovereignty." So, it all very interesting. And in your book, Texit, you have a foreword written by John Griffin, and he says, in part, this is just a sentence that I took out of that, "Texas independence is viewed by Texans as a largely unspoken natural order of things, and the Union viewed as an aberration," which I found very fascinating.
Right. Well, and that does really speak to the mindset. You know, it was Sam Houston who said that the government that governs best governs least. You know, we have a history and a culture developed here of a distrust for government, and especially that of a federal nature. You know, in the process of advocating for Texas independence, one thing really, well, let me say it this way. I get asked a lot about why people here in Texas want Texas independence so much. You know, what is it that's fueling them? And frankly, I could write 1,000 books and not cover what those reasons are. But if I were to distill them down, it is this mindset here in Texas that has really fueled the growth in support of Texas, where Texans are just sick and tired of living under 180,000 pages of federal laws, rules, and regulations, administered by 440 separate federal agencies and 2.5 million unelected bureaucrats. At the end of the day, Texans feel that the best people to govern Texas are Texans and not these faceless unelected bureaucrats or the people from the other states. Texans are sick and tired of going to the polls and voting here only to have it not matter simply because of the stroke of a pen of some federal bureaucrat. It's really in the minds of most Texans, I think, and really people outside of Texas that are looking at this, they're sort of surprised that it hasn't happened already.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. It really, really does, because I see what's going on here. I saw what Barack Obama does when he said, "I've got a phone and a pen," and he would do whatever he wanted by fiat, as opposed to the way this nation was set up as a constitutional republic. Daniel Miller, what percentage of Texans would you say are interested in independence?
Well, it's definitely beyond interest, but look, I'll give you sort of a track. When I got involved in advocating for Texas independence, you could almost fit the number of people who supported it statewide into a small high school football stadium. It consistently polled in single digits. Although I will say that for the entire duration of the modern movement for Texas independence, it's always had a higher approval rating than the U.S. Congress. So that's at least something, right? So,
yeah.
But moving along, you know, what we did was we just steadily worked at it, and we continue to make the case to Texas as to not only why Texas would be better off as an independent nation, but that we should become an independent nation and how it was possible. And so throughout all those years, what we saw was the growth of Texas independence steadily climb. So in 2009, there was a poll conducted by Research 2000 after Governor Perry made some remarks at a Tea Party rally. And the question that they asked was, do you believe that Texas would be better off as an independent nation? And of course, you know, the results just absolutely floored the opposition, because it turned out it was 48% of Republicans said yes, 40% of independents, and 15% of Democrats. Well, wow. If you overlay those numbers over the way the electorate votes, that's substantial. I mean, that's massive. I mean, Texas is Texans overwhelmingly vote Republican or consider themselves independent. So, I mean, we knew at that moment that we were on the right track and that this had some significant trajectory. So fast forward then to 2014, right around the time of the Scottish independence referendum, and Reuters conducted a poll where they asked a question that was a lot harder than the first question, which was, do you believe that your state should leave the Union and become an independent country? I mean, that was, no, the first one's sort of a fantasy football kind of question, but the Reuters question was really a question of political will, and the first time that it had really been polled by a major third-party polling company. And those results blew everyone's doors off, because it was 54% of Republicans said, absolutely, Texas should leave the Union and become an independent country. Half of independent voters and 35% of Democrats said, absolutely, Texas should leave the Union. So, wow. You know, what we saw then was, right around the time of the 2016 general election, we saw that one of the polls that came out showed that two-thirds of Texans were ready to leave the Union, under certain circumstances. So, you know, we've seen this trajectory moving where support is there. So overall, if you're going to take sort of a snapshot of it right now, what you've got is you've got just slightly under a majority that favor independence, and these are registered voters. You've got the supporters polling ahead of those who are opposed to it, generally somewhere in the neighborhood of about 4 to 6, sometimes as high as 8 points behind the opposers behind the supporters, with a gap anywhere from about 12 to 16 percentage points for the undecideds. So we're literally just percentage points away from swaying enough people to have an absolute deadlock majority if we can get this thing to a referendum. And that's really the next push.
Wow. Wow. This is pretty amazing. I'm going to be keeping an eye on this. It's something I've not really known a lot about before booking you to be on here. So once again, everybody, I've been speaking with Daniel Miller. His book is linked on the show page, Texas, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. So you can click on that, find the book over at Amazon. Looks like an interesting read. I read the beginning of it because that's what I could see in a preview. Usually I have the full book, but I didn't quite yet. So maybe I'll get a copy of that and read it in its entirety. Daniel Miller, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show tonight. You've given us a lot to think about.
Excellent, Tammy. Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
You betcha. Take care. You're listening to The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Larry Lopata. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for businesses nationwide. Their turnkey surveillance and access control systems provide an excellent management control tool going far beyond safety and security benefits. For example, a site-wide surveillance system is the most cost-effective way to provide instant access to all the visual information that's critical to your business. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service. With upfront pricing, itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system, no monthly fees, same-day virtual site visits, you can rest assured your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call 800-440-1662. That's CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com. Make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show and now joined by my guest, Larry Lopata. Larry Lopata is the CEO of GunDynamics.com, a crowdfunding platform which will serve, it's just getting going, as the catalyst for new gun-related technologies for the firearms community. This is going to be interesting. Larry Lopata, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tammy.
You betcha. By way of introduction, everybody that's listening, this is all brand new stuff. So I'm getting Larry on as they're just starting this. And I think it's fascinating. Right in my strike zone, by the way, as a shooter. And my show is sponsored by Robar Guns. So this is kind of the perfect guest situation here. I found an interesting article about GunDynamics.com, or that's one of the things it's about, at the Daily Star titled Shunned Gun Entrepreneur Launched Startups. The story begins, Larry Lopata and some friends were sitting around the campfire on a hunting trip when they came up with an idea for a new firearms product, an adjustable length trigger so people with different sized hands can comfortably share the same gun. The four business partners put $150,000 into development until last December when they were ready to seek more funds from investors. Crowdfunding sites such as Kickstarter and Indiegogo would have been perfect, but they prohibit users from raising money for weapons projects. So Lopata created his own gun-friendly crowdfunding site, GunDynamics.com, which launched last month. So Larry, this is really, truly a brand new venture.
Yes, we kicked it off on April 19th, which 243 years ago was the beginning of the American Revolution.
Yes, the shot heard round the world.
Well done, Tammy.
I wrote an article about that for Robar Guns, and I told people as I was talking about it on the show that, believe it or not, as I was doing more and more research on it, to me, it was very moving. I got choked up at different times thinking of these farmers and these simple, humble people being out there at Concord and firing away and winning the day at that point. And some of them have never shot weapons before. So I encourage people to do a little research on that. A lot of us know it from history. I don't know if all the politically correct revisionist history is teaching it still, but it's good stuff. In the article, Shunned Gun Entrepreneurs Launch Startups, it notes, Kickstarter and Indiegogo declined to comment beyond referring to their published policies, which prohibit crowdfunding projects involving weapons, replica weapons, and weapons accessory. So that doesn't surprise me, Larry, because I've heard them turning down other people. And what's interesting is some acquaintances of mine were going to do a show about Gosnell, the abortionist, and they, Indiegogo at least, said no way. And so they had to shop around, and I thought, wow, there's just some things, it's kind of no rhyme nor reason, but they have their own standards, just like Google and YouTube and all these other social platforms do. And they're not always friendly to, shall we say, conservatives and Second Amendment aficionados. I was going to ask you, are you, since you were working on this for a 1911, I think a trigger for a 1911, are you a gunsmith or maybe a lifelong hunter and shooter who tinkers with this stuff?
I'm just an entrepreneur. And we were working as a subcontractor for a handgun designer who was submitting for the modular handgun system project for the United States Army. And he never, that project got so big when they combined ammunition with the firearm platform that they just couldn't afford to make the submission. So my partners and I decided to run with the technology. And, you know, you bring up a great point because crowdfunding is so critical to bringing entrepreneurs to the market and kind of circumventing those main manufacturers that kind of have a stranglehold on on all industries. And for the gun community to be denied that kind of access, for the entrepreneurs of the gun community to be denied that kind of access, will have incredible effects on the innovations within the gun market, you know, come 5 to 10 years from now. And if you had asked me 7 months ago if I would be doing this now, I'd say no. But when we got denied, I just said, you know what, guys, we need to stand up. You know, let's not get angry. Let's just do something about it because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a lot of things going on. Before the election of 2016, I had friends and acquaintances who had gun shops and other related businesses, and it was interesting how there was such a surge in gun purchasing, ammo, accessories, etc., prior to the election, because people, a lot of us across the nation, were hearing all these polls that held the pill. Clinton was going to be our next commander-in-chief, and we knew right away that she was not for the Second Amendment. Pretty much she was for everything I was against and against everything I was for, and most conservatives were for. So there was a real run-up on in the firearms industry prior to the election. After the election, everybody breathed a sigh of relief and just relaxed. But what we have to understand, Larry Lopata, is that the other side, the people that do not like the Second Amendment, we hear from them all the time that they never relax. They're always pressing the attack. And they really used the Parkland shooting to their benefit, I think. Explain what kind of effect the Parkland shooting, in your mind, had on the gun industry.
Well, I have to tell you this, Tammy. I think they had all their ducks lined up in a row waiting for the next tragedy. And when that tragedy hit, they executed it like a well-orchestrated machine. You know, everyone from, you know, Mother's Demand Action to Everytown, the Bloomberg money. I never saw anything like it. It truly was like a blitzkrieg.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah, keep going. That's okay.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when you have an organized base, you know, I like to say that I'm on the front line of the Second Amendment. You know, I'm in a state that's very blue. I mean, you can't go anywhere without being, you know, outnumbered by the blue in Connecticut. It's amazing. So, you know, we are always, you know, my wife's like, be careful what you say when we're in a restaurant and stuff like that. And I'm like, absolutely not. You know, if you want to talk intelligently about technology and situations and the Second Amendment, I'm here. Like, I feel it's my duty. I go out a few nights a week just to do that, just to tell people what industry I'm in and show them that we're, you know, not child killers. I mean, I was at the NRA show and my 10-year-old son came. I thought it was important. And one of the protesters yelled out, "You're child killers." And my son yelled back, "I'm 10 years old and have been with this guy for 10 years and I'm still alive." I mean, I was like,
that's fabulous.
It is fabulous, but it just shows you how surreal it is. And even my son gets it. You know, he's just like, right. those people are so silly.
Yes. Yes. I had a teenager on a couple weeks ago who was from Iowa, and he'd written a great story about the fact that not all teenagers are Tide Pod eaters and against the Second Amendment. And he absolutely got it. But he said, you know what they did is the gun grabbers, when the tragedy hit, as you said, they were all ready for it. They used these kids as proxies to get forth their gun grabbing agenda. And they did things like said, "Would you guys like the day off of school to go do this march?" Well, how many teenagers are going to say, "No, I want to stay in school and study and work hard"? Even the good ones might say, "Well, a day off of school sounds kind of cool," unless they absolutely know what it's all about. And if they've been schooled with parents that really know the Constitution and our founding documents, well, that's one thing. But so these kids were used, absolutely used. Most of them, I don't think, know the Constitution, know the Second Amendment or any of that. And they're just using it. And then, Larry Lopata, I saw all these retailers and businesses across the nation that are stepping away from firearms ammo and firearms accessories. And fortunately, there are patriots who are pushing back on that.
Well, and Tammy, you bring up a few great points. First of all, the real disgusting thing about the businesses that are turning their backs on the gun industry currently is the fact that they made hundreds of millions of dollars under the Obama administration doing business with the gun industry. The gun industry was one of the main success stories after the crash. Everywhere I went, every manufacturing shop I went to while Obama was in office, it was probably 50 or 60, had some kind of gun component being manufactured there, making jobs. And then when things get tough, they all turn and run with the money. I find that disgusting. And the thing about America that's great is you have a right to your opinion. But just like Alexander Hamilton said, you know, if you've got citizens who aren't educated and are speaking from emotion and not from a point of intelligence, it gets very dangerous. So that's another reason why I had to stand up, because I'm just like, if you're talking emotionally that you don't like guns and you're not being intelligent and doing your research on what guns do to protect American values, both here and abroad, then you're dangerous to the Constitution. You're a threat to our country, and I have to do something about it. And that means educating,
right?
Embracing. Let me come to the range. If you haven't fired a weapon, you know, you have no business criticizing it.
Yes. Yeah, they really don't know. And I'll tell you, I've been asked to speak a couple times on our Capitol steps here in Oregon about the Second Amendment. And I'm always happy to do so. I call myself a little bit of a gun evangelist, because I want people to know that this is a right that we should not relinquish, not now, not ever. And it has nothing to do with what we need or what we want. It has to do with it being a God-given right to own these firearms. And in fact, I get a little bit testy when people say, well, as long as they're not assault weapons or this or that. And I think, you know what? It has nothing to do with that, because during the founding of this country, a lot of people that helped secure our liberties and helped build this new nation had weapons that were comparable or even better to the regular army. So people need to understand that some of the army was carrying muskets, and some of the militia and the farmers, et cetera, actually had rifles that were newer and better. So to think of it that way, if we were, you know, translating forward, that meant that they were carrying what the army was carrying. There's no problem with that. And Larry Lopata, I get so irate because there are over 300 million guns in this nation. And as you hear the meme all the time, if there was a problem with these people, you'd know about it. The gun owners, by and large, whatever, 99% of them, who knows exactly, but they're law-abiding, give the shirt off their back type neighbors. These are the great people, and we're given these rights to fend off tyranny. People don't understand that this battle with the gun grabbers is about control. It's not about the weapon of choice or whatever magazine you do or don't have and how many rounds it has in it. It's about control.
Correct. I mean, and God bless you for stepping up that way. I mean, I believe it was the Kentucky long rifle that actually outranged the British issued firearms. And when you talk about the colonials at the time, especially at Lexington and Concord, we had no real army. No one expected the situation to go hot as it did. And if the citizenry wasn't armed, we'd probably still be some form of a British colony.
Yep. And we would have been under the thumb of George III for quite a long time, right?
Yeah, and people don't understand that the founding fathers came out of England when they saw James I disarm the Catholics in order for the Protestants to slaughter them.
Yes.
In England. And
yes.
It's just, you know, and those who forget history are bound to re-experience it. And yes. The amazing thing, too, Tammy, is in literally the 2 weeks that we've been open, and the people that are calling in and emailing us regarding campaigns is everything from small businesses that can't get loans to promote their technologies to entrepreneurs who just have nowhere to go. And I'm watching this, and it's just like, you know, most of these innovators, if they were in a non-gun related business, would have their projects funded.
Wow.
And we've been out literally 2 weeks to today, and I say we're vetting 25 projects, and we
wow.
haven't even begun to get the word out.
My goodness.
So my goodness. And it's cool. I don't know if you've been to the site, but we have not only do we have the adjustable trigger, but we have this Circatech SLFX that is a split dual slide handgun technology that reduces muzzle climb, reduces weight, and a new electronic rifle technology that the inventor is looking to submit to replace the M4A2 main assault rifle used by the United States military, because currently, reports out of Afghanistan are the new Chinese and Russian body armor, our weapons used by our troops are becoming ineffective.
Wow. Wow. Really fascinating. We've been talking about the assault on the gun industry as a whole, and in this article that I found at the Daily Star titled "Shunned Gun Entrepreneurs Launch Startups," it says Bank of AmeriCorps said they would no longer lend to companies that make military-style firearms for civilians. Dick's Sporting Goods said it would stop selling assault-style rifles. Yeah, assault. And Walmart, Inc., L.L. Bean, and Kroger's Fred Meyer stores raised the minimum age for firearms purchases to 21 from 18. Other companies pulled out of marketing deals that offered incentives to NRA members, including MetLife, Delta Air, United Air, and three rental car brands, including Enterprise. Tim Harsom, of the star of the Military Arms Channel on YouTube, saw the backlash coming and prepared by creating his own YouTube for guns. It's called Full30.com, so that's something else that's going on with another entrepreneur. But by talking about those things that distance those enterprises that distance themselves from any kind of firearms sales or from the NRA. One thing that I've been heartened to see, Larry, is that many, many folks no longer frequent or use those businesses due to their action vis-a-vis firearms ammo and firearms accessories.
True. And the real problem, like in Tim's case with YouTube, is his channel is still up for now, but they've cut all his advertising funding.
Wow.
And so he's making no money, and he has 700,000 followers. So he's just launched a site. He had a site up for a while called The Full 30, but it doesn't get the traffic because usually people on YouTube will jump all over the place.
Right.
You know, and see various things. So it's a really critical time for the gun community. I mean, I'm watching it and talking to the vendors at the shows. Even more established gun companies are like, we're having challenges that we didn't have last year. You know, getting bank loans or lines of credit or underwriters. And if we don't do something about it now, Tammy, it's just going to get worse.
Well, I know just recently, what was the gun, manufacturer that went under? Trying to think which one it was. It'll come to me. But it has been tough. And since I have a close working relationship with Robar Guns, they're down in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I help them with social media and content, write articles for them, et cetera. I'm very much in tune with what's happening in the industry itself. And I know about entrepreneurs and creating things in that business and how tough it is and the money that you need and trying to get those funds is getting increasingly hard as we've got these hardcore radical progressives that are putting, you know, the squeeze on a lot of the money and social platforms. So it's been very tough.
It's been very tough. It was tough for us to find someone to actually process the cards for a crowdfunding campaign. We had a lot of people going, oh, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. I'm like, oh, my God. And then even for that article, and I just would like to reach out to the article that you're reading from was actually originated as a Reuters article.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I do have to give credit where credit's due that Reuters wrote at least an up the middle story about critical things going on in the gun industry is nothing short of a miracle. So I really appreciate them for, you know, being journalists first. And without that, I don't think the word would have gotten out as effectively as it has in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, and the fact is, you mentioned Bloomberg. Well, let me tell you, Oregon is awful as far as we've got just a huge percentage of progressives down at in our capital that are just daily trying to pass gun-grabbing legislation. And we have the Oregon Firearms Federation, which is a great organization that is so Second Amendment. And so the fellow that runs that, the president of that, is sending out bulletins daily on what's going on and what's being voted on. But it is amazing that prior to elections or prior to any of these bills getting to the state house, there is usually an infusion of Bloomberg money that comes in here and in Washington that are just flooding the states. And we're talking millions and millions of dollars to pass gun-grabbing legislation. It's going on all the time, and people don't realize it.
No, because it's happening so quickly and effectively. And if we sit back thinking that, okay, we know that we show up on election day, and that's all we need to do, we're going to wake up like some states, some people in some states are already waking up going, wait a minute, what's going on? When I forget the gentleman's name, but, you know, his wife called in a domestic disturbance because she wouldn't give him a Wi-Fi password in Long Island, New York. Mm-hmm. And when the police came, because it was a domestic dispute, they chose to take his firearms. And I believe the officer who confiscated his gun said, in this state, guns are a privilege, not a right. What?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
So if that's being said and reported on, what do you think's going on that we don't hear about?
Precisely. People need to wake up. And here I'm finding one of the big problems, Larry Lopata, is that a lot of the great patriots in this nation, there's a lot of good Americans. I mean, Donald Trump did get elected by people that wanted to reverse the trend. And these are great people, even in the blue states. They're there. In Oregon, there's a lot of ranchers, hunters, normal people that I would call common sense conservatives that are just doing the right thing. They're raising families. They're you know, paying their taxes, paying their bills, going to church, doing all this stuff, raising good kids, and not doing the wrong thing ever. But they've kind of left politics to politicians. The problem is the left is not like that. And as I said before, they're constantly, always pressing the attack. So we've got all these good citizens all over the nation that have kind of just been living their lives and not thinking about this stuff too much. Here in Oregon, I am starting to see some pushback because there are hundreds of thousands of people in this state that were raised hunting, fishing with this common sense conservatism, and suddenly we're being told that they're going to be able to do things like they could do there in New York, where they could confiscate our weapons if anybody even phones in some kind of charge. Crazy stuff like that. So, Larry, I do have friends. I have a lot of friends that I will never call out on air that don't even consider that you should have to have a concealed carry license because they believe the Second Amendment is just that, that we should have constitutional carry. And I have a lot of friends, hundreds of them, that say if they get to the point where they're going to come and try and take our firearms, we're going to go all Molin Lave on you for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting times.
It really, really is. Once again, my guest this half hour has been Larry Lapata. He has started the site, gundynamics.com. It's fantastic. I want everybody to go to it. It's linked on the show page. And it's crowdfunding for people in the firearms industry. This is a tremendous need, and you guys are meeting it. Larry, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tammy. I look forward to talking to you again.
You betcha. We'll stay in contact, and you take care, my friend.
All right, you too. Have a good rest of the day.
Thanks for listening to the Tammy Jackson Show, everybody. I will be back on the 405 next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. To be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. Oh, the squeaky wheel
quiet, I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time